took a detour from our Christmas bumps. That's all right. Plus, we have a guest who's now going, what kind of show have I wandered into? They interrupt the news to have a monkey conversation, and then somehow Gidget from the movies comes up. It's great.
Yeah.
It's Friday. As we said, Kevin McCaffrey is here. He's a wonderful comedian. He is in town this weekend at Zany's downtown for a very special reason, which we'll get to in a minute. Welcome.
Thank you.
It's good to have you. You're from here. You're from Chicago.
I am. I'm originally, like most people who say they're from Chicago, right. I'm actually from Hinsdale. So,
of course.
I'm from about a half hour west and back in town to record my first album this Saturday at Zany's.
That's very exciting.
Yeah, it's fun. I really like that room. So.
Now, you've been doing comedy for a long time. What
yes.
What held up the process for the first album? Or you just had no desire? Or?
Yeah, I have no desire.
Just
in general,
like
you can fill in the blank
after that.
Yeah, I think.
Lazy?
Yes, for sure. Yeah. I mean, it's just basically it got to the point where oftentimes, most comedy clubs will be set up. You have the MC, then there's a guy that goes in the middle, then there's the headliner. And the guy in the middle would always be like selling t-shirts with puns on it. And then people come to me and be like, what can I buy? And
yeah.
I'm just like, the experience you just had. I don't know.
Yes, you laughed for 45 minutes.
Yes,
that
exactly.
should be enough.
So it's nice to, now it's nice to have something to, to give them, if that's
right.
what I mean, for money, but that, and then there's just like a lot of stuff at this point. You did stand up for a long time that I believe in and works, but I'm ready to never say again in my life.
See, and that's it. Now, so you'll cut the album, and
yes.
then it'll be out there, and then you start from scratch, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
I mean, I'm sure you have a ton of stuff in.
I have a passable amount of stuff. I will not have to retire the day after the
album. Well, that's
thank
goodness.
Yes, right.
That would be very bad.
Yes, exactly.
If Sunday was your last day.
Yes. Have to move on to go taking care of John Fox's monkey. And
listen, the dead monkey. Rest in peace. Pour one out for the monkey that can't be with us. That was very sad.
Well, that is a news break in that sense. Yes.
Andy brought down the whole show with that news. It was horrifying. So how did you get to, we'll ask the typical question, because parents of people who do stand up are always asked this. How did he get into this?
Because right.
Didn't we raise him better?
My mom is super psyched about it, about what I'm doing. Basically, there's, as you know, it's like there, I don't have any of the other skills that would go into another job. So in this one, you work roughly 45 minutes a day. If there's two shows, like there's two shows tonight and Saturday, we're talking an hour and a half now. But
thank you for making the effort to come here, because your grueling schedule later is probably going to wipe you out.
Yes, I'm mostly wiped at this point, but... so I basically went to I did a radio show in high school, and then I went to college with
lovely producer Camille.
Our lovely producer Camille here, who the musical sting there that she played was the intro song to the show we did in college.
That makes sense.
Yes, no. I did it a long time ago, and that's the song I had when I did stand up on Letterman. Mm-hmm. They ask you when they book you for the show, they say, what would you like Paul to play you on with? So you get to pick your song.
Well, that's exciting.
And we did that. Yeah.
Now, we'll jump around, because you were, not only were you on Letterman as a stand-up, you
right.
were on there as an actor, and you were also a monologue writer
yes.
on Letterman. So, you're at Ball State, and you're studying, what was your major?
Well, I was at Ball State.
Well, you were at Ball State. What was your alleged major?
It was TV production.
Okay, so you're in the field, you're
right.
at least, you know.
I found, yeah, and I like walked... at graduation, but I later found out I didn't graduate.
Is that right?
Yes, that is true. It's some sort of weird technicality. They wrote me a letter later. I'm like, well, I already did it.
Yeah, I
already
got the picture.
Yeah, exactly. Is. What else do you need?
I shook the president's hand. I'm done.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you have to go back, or are you still...
No, they invited me to go back and like reapply to drop a minor. They wouldn't give me a creative writing credit because... instead of taking a poetry course, I was interning at Letterman, at which I wrote...
Yeah, couldn't you just send
them
your resume?
Yeah,
you see, I write every day.
Yeah, exactly. I'm doing it, right? Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you started at Letterman as an intern.
Yes. So my last college credit, I was the I got the writer's internship at Letterman.
That's very cool. Mm-hmm. So that's got to be, it's a dream for so many people.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And you get there, is it an intimidating process when you walk into the Letterman studios?
Yeah, for me it was, especially because if people used to watch Letterman, a lot of the people they used on air were just staffers
right.
that were not actors. So you walk in the door and like Biff Henderson's there. There was a guy who was known as Mailroom Bob
yes.
at the time, who was no longer working in the mailroom. He was the writer's assistant at that point. So he like conducted the interview with me. So for a Letterman super super fan. It's just like going to Disney World.
Yeah.
And basically it's like Donald Duck interviews you, you know? It's that was very intimidating at the time. And it's like a 3-hour long interview. It's a whole thing.
Wow. And what responsibilities does an intern have?
Well, it's a lot of photocopying and running those photocopies around to different people. I remember, and then they'll send you out to buy things that they don't want to buy themselves, basically.
Oh, sure.
Things like that. But they specifically told me that, you know, if you're the writer's intern, don't think you're going to be writing top tens. That's not what happens. Yeah. You're assisting. And then one day, Dave just saw the top 10 as he was walking out to the stage, and he crossed out the whole thing. He was just like, nope, new one. And so everyone was panicking. And I would just, when I'd be covering phones during the show as an intern, I would just write on whatever the top 10 topic was for that day to keep my brain from atrophy.
Yes, sir.
And Mailroom Bob ran up in a panic trying to get the writers to write a new round of top 10s. And he saw me writing and was like, what is that? And I was like, nothing. I'm not overstepping my bounds.
Sorry,
for sure.
Anything.
And he took it and he handed it to the head writers. And then I think that first list I got number 9 and number 1 on. And then they were like, just keep writing, you know?
That is amazing.
Yeah.
So that's a wonderful story.
Yeah. It's very old showbiz kind of thing.
It is.
You know?
Hey, get that kid over there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I like the look of it.
The cut of his jib. Yeah. And now you're... So that then leads to a job?
Yeah, eventually. So basically it's that. I was writing under the table. And then I was a page, which is, you know, if you watch 30 Rock, basically the Kenneth the Page role, you wear a uniform and you run around and tell, you know, smile people. And then you like secretly judge them on their looks and their energy. And then if they have good energy, you get them to sit towards the front and stuff like that. It's a whole thing. And then I was a freelance monologue writer after that. And
very nice. Mm-hmm. And then now while you were in New York as the freelance monologue writer, is that when you begin stand up? Or had you done it in Indiana as well?
Yeah, well, in Indiana, I just did the college TV show that was called BSU Late Night, and that's BSU Tonight when Camille was on it and running it. And so that was all I did in college. Then went out, and I was just writing at Letterman for a couple of years, for like probably 2-3 years before I started doing stand-up out there.
Very nice. Kevin McCaffrey is here. He will be at Zany's on Wells of tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday night. Tomorrow night, 2 shows you are recording, your very first album. Do you have a name for the album yet?
I believe we do. It's probably going to be Nice and Drunk. Wife says those are 2 words that describe me.
Yeah,
so.
You seem nice, and I don't know about the drunk part, but we'll see later.
We're right now's hangover zone. We're in the cycle.
All right, so you're cordial and hungover.
Yes, exactly.
That might be the second album. Kevin McCaffrey's here. If you want tickets, go to zanies.com. You can get see him either tonight or Saturday, but tomorrow night's the big money night. Go and see him record his first album. Comedian Kevin McCaffrey is here. He is at Zany's on Wells Street this weekend, tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday. And tomorrow is Saturday. Why do I think?
You're correct twice. That's right.
All right. Tonight and Saturday. 2 shows tonight, 2 shows tomorrow. Tomorrow night's the big deal. And that's why you're here. You're recording your very first comedy album.
Yes.
Did you pick Zany's on purpose? Because there's a lot of great clubs in the country. Zany's obviously one of them.
Totally.
But was there something about Zany's that you said, well, I want to record here?
Yeah, it's if not my favorite club, it's one of my very favorites. And it's growing up in this area, it was the one where you would hear comedians talk about, you know? So I feel like it has that sort of place in my heart from growing up, being like, oh, comedians go
and
to Zany's when
the
they come
big,
through
yeah, town. Yeah, the big names always went to Zany's.
Yeah, and it's a great room, and I do it every year around one of the holidays. And I thought for the first album coming home to do it would be nice.
That's very cool. Do you like the intimacy of that room as opposed to some of the newer rooms in some places are big, the 300 seats?
Yeah, a lot of the rooms that are 300 seats aren't having people
there's like 40 people.
It's just you get there and you just feel bad they had to set up all the chairs. It's like it feels like a very visual example of you not doing well.
Exactly.
Even if there's 150 people there, which is a good amount of people to hear you tell stories.
Sure.
You know?
And then they'll go around and blow out the candles in the back, and that makes you feel like during your set they're blowing out candles. You go, no, just leave them lit.
Let's have a little hope here.
Right,
let's
keep
the romantic vibe. Yeah. I do like the Zany's downtown. It feels old school. The ceiling is very low. There's a piano that no one has used in 25 years, you know. And it's packed in tight, like very, you know, fire hazardy, which I like.
And for people who don't understand it, laughter, it travels when your people are packed in.
Right.
So you can really get them on a roll.
Yeah, and it's nice when and it's a good dark room too. Mm-hmm. So it's nice when people don't feel like the lights are on them, or if they're laughing, people can really single out that it's them laughing, because people get worried about like being judged for what they're laughing on and stuff. So yeah, it's a nice room, and the shows have been great so far this week. We've been there since Monday, and two more tomorrow.
Nice. So you're getting all these shows in to kind of warm up. Are you going to do two different sets tomorrow, or will you do the same at both shows and just and then edit the two together?
They'll be a little different, but okay. I have an idea basically what order I want to do things in, and then ideally we nail it on the first one and get weird on the second.
Well, good luck. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
So that's tomorrow night. Zanies.com to get tickets. If we can, I know a lot of people want to hear more about Letterman because it's fascinating, and you spent time there. What's it like when you get you're working at Letterman, you're a freelance monologue writer, and they say to you, hey, we want you to come on and do stand-up. Is this something you had been lobbying for? And what was the process? Because Dave was notorious for not wanting a lot of stand-ups on the show.
Right. There would really only be one, like, once every 2 weeks or so. And then, so if there's one every 2 weeks, and then Gaffigan does it 4 times a year, Seinfeld does it 3.
Regan
whenever he wants. Yeah, totally. Yeah. And that makes sense. But then there's not a lot of spots for the new guys.
So how does a Kevin McCaffrey end up walking out of that curtain and going, hey, here I am?
It takes a long time. At first, the guy who was booking did not, I think, felt uncomfortable for some reason having someone who'd done things for the show also come on the show in that way.
Okay.
Then he stopped booking it, and then the new bookers asked me, would you want to do that? And I was like, yes, I would like to do that. So I auditioned, and the audition process is really weird because they're short sets. And as you know, when you're doing stand-up, it's usually doing an hour in a headline set, and these things are 5 minutes. So you go in the audition, they wanted you to do 7 TV clean minutes, and then they transcribe your set and highlight what they approved.
Okay.
Joke by joke. And then so they approved like 4.5 minutes the first time. And then I went back with a couple new minutes, then they approve the set, and you send them a tape of that going well, and then
would they go through it word for word too in a joke? Maybe we like this joke about, like, on your Letterman set, you did some jokes about going to church with your mom on Christmas,
right?
And would they go through it word by word and say, yeah, this one you need to change a little bit?
For me, I have heard them doing that. I heard one friend of mine, they just told him to do a new punchline to a joke, and it's like, I think you just don't like that joke. Like,
do a new punchline.
I mean, it's such a weird thing to be like, I like that joke except for the part that you think is funny.
Right.
The funny part I don't like.
The premise is fantastic.
Yeah, I'm a real setup fan. Yeah, it's a weird weird note to get. But a friend of mine got that. For me, I was pretty lucky. They didn't change around any of the wording of the jokes. They just wanted me to swap my closer out for the one before it.
Oh,
so
okay.
They just want me to change the order, but that's it.
And how nerve-wracking is it? I know that might seem like a stupid question.
No.
But people are like, well, these comics all seem pretty calm when they walk out from behind the curtain.
Right. Well, it should be nerve-wracking, right? Like, the auditions were probably as close to nervous as I get, just because, you know, you don't want to blow it.
Sure.
But I woke up that day, and I just wasn't nervous, because in my head, it's a very zen thing, but I was just thinking, okay, in the story of my life, this has to go well.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we are retiring. This is... you know, it would be horrific. So
don't want to be the guy who bombs on Letterman.
No, you don't. And it was just, it's so surreal that it almost, that I couldn't be nervous, because it's like, this is, you know, whatever, like, I'm getting my makeup done next to John Goodman, and my green room is next to Iggy Azalea.
Oh,
it's just like very weird, a very weird day. And as John Goodman was walking off, he was like, break a leg, Kev. And I said, thanks, John. And at that point, you're just like, well, this isn't a real thing.
Right. Yeah, this is all make-believe.
Right. And then once you go out there, Dave, you know, Dave tells the crowd, this guy's going to be funny. He's like, so the crowd believes him.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's nice.
And it had to be nice. He came over to you at the end of the set, and you had a nice little exchange.
Yes, which they told me definitely would not happen.
Wow.
They told me, okay, when you finish, just stand there.
Okay.
Dave will approach you from behind. Don't worry, he won't talk to you. It's fine. He'll just plug your thing. But then he did talk to me for a minute, and I just sort of blacked out, you know.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Had you had any interaction with him in all your time working there prior to that?
100% of my interaction with him was on air. Wow. Was there were, when I interned, I played you know, random character to run out onto the set a couple of times. I played an intern who ran out to my mom, and I think I told her, you know, please take me away from here, take me, you know, I should have gone to Conan, and was screaming as security dragged me off. So I did stuff like that.
Okay.
But that was it. We didn't, you know, no kicking it at lunch or anything. No. But yeah.
Well, listen, you've come a long way and circled back home. And now tomorrow night at Zany, you're there tonight for two shows. Zany's on Wall Street.
Yep.
Zany's.com for tickets. Tomorrow night, the two shows are at 7 and 9:30?
7 and 9.
7 and 9.
7 and 9 p.m.
And you will be recording your first album, which is very, very exciting. For all Kevin's information, go to kevin-mccaffrey.com. You can find out all about Kevin, where he's going to be. But tomorrow night, go there, laugh out loud. You'll be you'll be part of a recording. It's going to be historic.
It'll be your album too.
Yes.
Use it as a credit.
You'll still have to pay for it, but you'll be invested in it somehow.
Yeah, exactly.
That's very nice. Well, good luck tomorrow night. Thanks
for
coming in. It was very nice to meet you.
Thank you so much for having me.